Okay, turn in your Bibles, please, to Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 1. We had Anu there, right? Isaac, Anu from Toronto, Isaac from Brazil. Then there was Paul, right? Paul was next. Was it Paul? Okay. Paul in Hungarian. He was Hungarian. Then Christine, and then Emma from the Shibley tribe. And we are just so blessed by the Bible College and we are blessed by people that have given. We give all our lives, don't we, to the Lord. Now, maybe I'm not in Bible college, but I'm in the footsteps. Maybe I'm not in the footsteps, but I'm in the services. Maybe I'm not in. By the way, if you're on the internet listening, we're so glad and thank God to Paul Nye and his skilled staff that is able to put these on, and they go, I mean, a few thousand computers are connected, and even some churches are watching, so that's an amazing thing for our connection with each other. And Paul Nye, I mean, he could be out in the world making a fortune, but I don't want him to know that. But he's living with us and eating macaronis. And he's a man of God. Paul Nye is amazing. He is. And Tina. And the whole family. The goalie. What's his name? Alex, the goalie. Can't get past him. And the whole family. And we just love that family very much. The book of Ruth, in chapter 1, if you read it slowly and think about it, there was a Jewish woman and her husband who saw grass greener on the other side. So they left Israel. Why did they leave Israel? Because the immigration policy was loose over there. They decided to move on. Yeah, right. No, because there wasn't food in Israel. There was a famine. So they decided to go to greener pastures. What happened when they went to greener pastures? Go like this. Okay. No good. Can you lean over and tell your neighbor a horror story about going after green pastures and it wasn't what the fine print said at the end of the contract? Did you ever move to New York City? Anybody? You see? See what I mean? Nobody. Now, did you ever move to Baltimore for greener pastures? Huh? Have you ever married a rich guy and found out that he was a criminal? Huh? Have you ever, in your youth or middle age or old age, have you ever made those decisions? Yeah, of course. Yeah. I buy and sell and get gain. You know, I got this figured out, and God had a plan. Read chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem. What's interesting about Bethlehem? Who's from Bethlehem? Yeah, but David. David, Bethlehem. David, the shepherd. Bethlehem of Judah. And this family is from Bethlehem. Wow, Bethlehem, you know. But at this time, undoubtedly, it was a small little dumpy village. But don't underestimate God in the plan, because he might want you to be in a dumpy village, because that may be just right where he has you, and he has something that he's doing. But in this, with this family, they went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And I mean, it sounds like I'm joking around, but it does, it is sad. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife, Naomi, and the names of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem and Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. When I read that today, kind of, I went like, oh, you know, it's like, wow, have I seen a woman with two women without any men in their family, without any, like, they don't have the security, they don't have the money, they're dirt poor, and she's in a foreign country. And I have seen in third world countries, I've seen and heard about people pinned down, left without a visa or a passport, without any money, without any way of escape, in destitution. I have seen it, and I can feel it in my bones, like despair and hopelessness. Well, what can you do? I can go to that office and knock on a door, but they'll tell me go to that one, and I go to that one, and I get, $7, and I'm homeless, and, those kind of stories. No men. They're gone. No men. So no, Naomi is... got one option. I'll go back to Bethlehem. And she tells the women, you are Moabites. Stay here. You have your own gods, your own families, your own way. Stay here. They said, no, we will go with you. Orpah and Ruth, we will go with you. Orpah kissed. Ruth just held on. You're not going to get rid of me. I'm going to be with you. Your God is going to be my God. Where you die, I die. I'm going to be with you. That she just clung on, held on. In the story, I'm thinking of life for many people that are in this world, and they need an anchor. They need something. And in the back of Ruth's mind, probably, she had her own country, but probably she understood from her husband of 10 years and the family, these are Jewish people. They came out of Egypt. They have promises. They have a covenant with God. I'm going to throw my lot in with them. I'm going to do it. She has nothing. She's bitter. She said, leave me. My name is Mara. I am bitter. I have no future. I'm going back to Bethlehem. Leave me. But Ruth is saying, you see, Ruth is that woman that we've been talking about today. Ruth, there's something going on. And we just kind of said it like this, you know, the Spirit of God is what I need. I really don't need the money. I need God. I need the Spirit of God. I don't need everybody agreeing with me. I need God. I need the Spirit of God. Somebody told me today, they said, if I hadn't hit the wall and fallen into depression and gone to the bottom, I maybe never would have found God. And I might have ended up like the rich man in hell, with the security of the world, but without God. I remember years in my youth, or as a young man, my adolescence, and I remember also as a missionary, many of you can identify, you don't have much. I don't have much sitting on the curb, like Randy Rollins said, you know, sitting on the curb. But that was where in my heart, I wanted to find, Lord, if you are with me on this curb, and if I could get these words in my heart, and if your Holy Spirit will fill me, then I have something. And I don't know if anybody will ever recognize it, but I have something. And I want to know who you are. I am not sure, but I want to believe. And if there is a Naomi in my life, I'm going to cling to her and say, I'm going to throw my lot in with you. And she was a woman who in the working place could say, I am in a depression, but I have something in the background. I have something. And Ruth, in the working place in the story, and this is a very short message, but I want to say something about it, that she went back with Naomi and they came to Bethlehem, and there was a relative, distant relative, who had a field there. And Ruth got the sense. I think Ruth sensed also that she was attractive. Most women know that, if they are or to what degree and so on. And Ruth said, let me show up at Boaz's field. This is in chapter 2. Let me go and glean in that field, and I will be with the other women that are gleaning. Because Jewish law had harvest, and they left the corners of the field, and they didn't re-harvest. They didn't go pick through every. They let those edges be for poor people. So Ruth is there looking for the wheat or the barley. It was barley, and Boaz did notice her, and he complimented her. And that kind of connection between the woman and Boaz in a proper way, but that Ruth had the, you see, Naomi didn't catch on. It seemed like Ruth had the sense that we have a future, and Naomi is kind of following along. But I can't help but think that two women that could have been victims, where women now by the Holy Spirit that were understanding that God would take care of them and that even something good might happen. Because Naomi had land, because it passes down in the family, and Naomi was going to have to sell it because she was so poor. And Boaz could redeem it, because he was a relative, and he could, but there was another man in the picture that could. And when Boaz said, the land of Naomi, you can redeem it because you're closest, he said, I will do it. And then he said, but you also have to take Ruth too. You have to take a wife into the picture. And he said, I can't do that. And Boaz said, I can do it. It's a good story. All I want to say about it is that the Spirit of God can lead you as a woman in an amazing plan, and don't lose heart. Your value, your future, He is in the details. that God works, and I just want to be one of those that are operating in the Spirit of God. And I might say, you know, it's not fair what happened to me, but I have to move beyond that and see what is God going to do in the future and how the Spirit will fill me and lead me. I might say many things about my life on that first level, but I want to, like, be an honorable, Spirit-filled woman who has a sense of God in my life. And that was why God chose Mary, apparently favored among women. What an honor that was. Why God chose Elizabeth, why God worked in Anna's life, and that she was a widow for 84 years. What an amazing thing. And for a woman to sense that God is in it, He's in the plan, and I'm in the church. And I'm on a team, or I'm a part of the, I'm married to a pastor. Let's say I'm not married to a pastor, but my husband would like to be a pastor. And the woman, young woman who is married to him is saying, this is about you. I'm here in the big plan, in God's plan to be a helpmate, to be behind you in my heart, to pray for you, to help you, to support you, to let you be who God has made you to be. I want you to feel and sense the freedom and the liberty. And the man empowers the wife in a spiritual way, and she responds to that, and she finds herself with the blessing of God in the family. How a beautiful thing that is. And yet in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, a man lives with a woman according to knowledge, knowing she is the weaker vessel. But because she is a weaker vessel doesn't mean that she's not a spiritual woman who is able to take that amazing design that God has for her. A weaker vessel is not a negative thing. It's like God is saying a man needs to take care. A man needs to learn to love. A man needs to take care of a woman. And the woman is there saying, you know, I just want to be loved. I want to be encouraged. I am the weaker vessel, but that's good for you because then you learn love. Let me read this one paragraph. It's one of mine that I've read a couple times. But this is from a Saturday Review article. Women have great gifts to bring to the world of men, the qualities of love, compassion, and humanity. It is the function of woman to humanize, since women are the natural mothers of humanity. Women are by nature endowed with the most important of all adaptive traits, the capacity to love. This is their principal function, to teach men. I'll stop for a second. I lived with a group of men in a house in Finland with my wife. My wife and I, we had a house of, I think, 16 men living in it. And it was big enough for, and they had their rooms and everything. But it was like an engineering group of guys. You know, they'd be there like, the square root of 9. And it was like, you know, could we have a little bit of fellowship and kick it up a little bit, like praise the Lord? You know, it was like they were quiet to themselves. Maybe you could say turn inward, as introspective, melancholic, maybe you could say. I'm exaggerating, but I want to just give the idea. Women are in the world to teach men to love, not to be engineers. Leave them to themselves. They are mechanics and engineers and so on. But they need to learn to love. Compassion, care. Then I'll continue. There can be no more important function. It could be wished that both men and women understood this. Once women know this, they will realize that no man can ever play as important a role in the life of humanity as a mentally healthy woman. By mental health, I mean the ability to love and the ability to work. Being a good wife, a good mother, a good homemaker is the most important of all occupations in the world. Remember our mothers? Like they stayed at home, many of our mothers in my generation, they stayed at home, they were mothers at home. And that was an amazing period. And they had their families and so on. And now we have working mothers that do their best, work very hard, I know. And that's just the way it is. But listen to this. It can surely be pointed out that the making of human beings is a far more important vocation than the making of anything else. And that in the formative years of a child's life, the mother is best equipped to provide those firm foundations upon which one can subsequently build. Maybe Ruth and Boaz, when they got together and he redeemed the family and they got married and they had a child, the great was an Obed and then David or Jesse, Obed, Jesse, and then David, the grandfather of David, King David, came through that line from this woman who in obscurity, without anything at all, never to be known in history, is now written in our Bible with a kind and generous spirit. That's what Boaz said. I have noticed how you have cared for your mother-in-law. I have noticed how you care about Naomi. Why do you care about Naomi? Because the Holy Spirit is teaching me to walk with Naomi and care for Naomi. And this is what is happening in the church. Don't underestimate your value. Don't underestimate your purpose. Don't underestimate the plan of God for you in your life. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, thank you for these thoughts in this day, Christmas time, celebrating the ministry of women today, the ministry of Mary and Elizabeth and Anna and Abigail and Ruth and Esther, celebrating what a kind, compassionate spirit does for people. Children need a good teacher in school. Men need good, godly women around them as friends. And women need godly men as brothers and friends in healthy relationships with godly boundaries and borders and understanding how to respect and love each other. And at work, we see the scandals in the news, and we are sorry for the pain, the confusion, and the trouble. Lead us, Lord, keep us, and show us the way, we pray, in wisdom, in our church, where we can hear about it and think about it, where we can make decisions in our hearts about this subject. The press would say, you're not a man unless you sleep with a woman. And we say back to the press, who cares about you? I walk with God. Who cares about your opinion? Lies, deception, tricks, games that are played in foolishness. But I know what it is to be a man of God or a man. in some way, or a woman, a lady. I am learning and growing in it. Lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus, this is an invitation to you to accept him. Believe in him, please. Believe in Jesus tonight, personally. And come down front and tell me and share it with me. Raise your hand if you want a booklet. You accepted Jesus tonight. Anyone here, raise your hand. On the internet, send us an email and encourage us. And may God bless you as you walk with Jesus by faith. In your name, Lord. Amen.